you all have your Bibles with you this morning, I'll invite you to turn with me to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. And we'll be starting actually a little bit further down in what is, I think everyone has probably heard, who is sitting here this morning, of this parable. And it is a story that has been told numerous times in numerous different cultures and numerous different circumstances to relate to growth and receiving things. And it is the parable of what they would call the sower. Now, before we all tune out, because it's maybe something we've heard many times, I just want to encourage you that this might be from a slightly different angle this morning. It might be able to actually open up a little bit more for us to understand the depth of what's going on here in this story. Because it might not at first glance appear to be what it is. A lot of us, I grew up even in Sunday school learning this story, parable of the sower. And it seems so easy when Jesus explains it afterwards that, hey, this is what it means. But in fact, for us today, this morning, and for every time that we come into God's presence, this is the key. This is the key to understanding all of the others. This is the key to understanding all of the others. But before we begin, I'm actually just going to pray really quickly. Father, we thank you so much. We thank you for your mercy, and we thank you for your grace. And Holy Spirit, you are invited and welcome here. And so, Lord, we pray that you would challenge our hearts, that you would enlighten our understanding. Reveal to us, Lord, that which we need to see and to walk away with. We trust you and we love you. And we ask your blessing on it this morning in Jesus' heavenly name. Amen. All right. So what we're going to do is we're actually going to look at verses 9 through 25. And then we're going to talk about those. And then we're going to go on to a small other little section as to how this relates to us. So beginning in verse 9 of chapter 4 in Mark, we read, this is after he's already explained the parable. And as he was saying to them, to you has been given the mystery of the king, and he was saying, who has ears to hear, let him hear. As soon as he was alone, his followers, along with the 12, began asking him about the parables. And he was saying to them, to you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God, but those who are outside get everything in parables. So that while seeing, they may see and not perceive, and while hearing, they may hear and not understand. Otherwise, they might return and be forgiven. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown. And when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. In a similar way, these are the ones on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And then they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then when affliction and persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for the other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And those are the ones on whom seed was sown on good soil, and they hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. And he was saying to them, a lamp is not brought to be put under a basket, is it? Or under a bed? Is it not brought to be put on the lampstand? For nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor has anything been secret that it would come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he was saying to them, take care that you listen what you listen to. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you, and more will be given you besides. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. So that's the explanation of what's going on. And the whole scenario is that he's actually teaching and decides to tell this story to everyone who's present, including the followers and his disciples. Then after he has said it, he says some very interesting things. He says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Or rather, he who actually is hearing these things, listen to them. He's imploring them to actually listen so that they may understand what is being said here. Not some sort of story that they can think of in their mind and walk away not thinking it pertains to themselves or their lives. He who has ears to hear, listen to this. Listen to this. It's a command. He is imploring them to understand. Now, what's interesting is that in the following verse, in verse 10, it talks about as soon as he was alone, his followers along with the 12 began asking him about the parables. They didn't understand. They didn't understand. But we see here that there is a few people that are actually with him specifically that is mentioned here. When they're alone, when they're away from the crowd to whom he's actually told the parable originally, initially, he starts to tell them, hey, look, listen to me. And then the following verse, to you has been given the mystery to the kingdom, but those who are outside get everything in parables. Now, I find that interesting because he actually just told the parables to them. But the reality is that he knew he was going to explain what he meant by all of this stuff. So we have there the disciples who are 12. And then we also have this other section here in verse 10. It says his followers along with the 12. So we can imagine that there's actually quite a large group that is gathered alone, away from the major crowd, right? Enough for him to need to explain this a little bit further. But it wasn't just the 12. There were more that were there. And by indications on how many he actually sent out later on, we can imagine there's probably 50, 60, potentially 70 more or more people that are actually gathered around as he's trying to explain all of these things. To you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God. What is this mystery? The idea in the Greek is actually a revelation to that which is of the kingdom. So it's more than just what is surface level. I think a lot of us, and especially myself included, we would tend to, when we initially start reading God's word, we would read the surface level of everything. The words, the stories, we would get kind of the surface level. But you see, God's wisdom is actually what we would call multifaceted. There are different angles by which we can actually look at his word. And there is a different level of depth that we can actually go into his word as well to have a better understanding. There are things that get revealed even beyond that. So we have to understand that there is much more depth here than just is what at the surface level. And so what Jesus is saying to them is, to them, I'm telling in parables so that they don't understand. There's a reason for that. But to you, because you are in the kingdom, you are a part of this, you now will receive the mystery or the access to the revelation as it is intended, its fullness. Does that make sense? So as we're receiving this revelation, we have to understand that sometimes it's a bit of a process. It's not always immediate like it was for them. Why was it immediate for them? Because they had Jesus by their side. He's immediately able to answer all their questions, and he does so when they ask. But there are many that don't ask. In verse 12, it's talking about those that are outside. That though they have ears to hear, though they have eyes to see, they're not hearing, they're not listening, they're not perceiving. There are things in this world right now that are taking place that we need to have the ears to hear the kingdom and the eyes to see the kingdom in the midst of it. We have that access because we belong to the kingdom. But all those that are around, they have ears to hear, but they aren't listening. They have eyes to see, but they are not perceiving what is going on right now. And fearfully, I would suggest that might even be true of many Christian believers. There's a reason for this. And he says here that their hearts might return and be forgiven. The purpose of all of our perceptions, of everything that we are hearing, of everything that we are seeing, as we start to recognize that there is a kingdom effect to all of this, there's a purpose in line with what the Father is intending to bring to pass, then that relates to our hearts, that then we may return and be forgiven if we perceive this. Everything that God does, the evidences that he shows, the testimonies, the witnesses, both in healings and miraculous things that take place, all of that is a sign for us to get on our knees in repentance before a glorious God and worship him because he loves us and he's living and he's active and he's among us. Verse 13, it talks about, do you not understand this parable, Jesus says to them? He says, how will you understand all the parables? That is why I said this is the key. This is the key. This parable, only this one. It appears in three of the Gospels, but this one specifically is the key to understanding all of them. What does it mean? How can it be the key? Well, as we see here, it's about someone who's just going and scattering seed. Now, the funny thing about this gentleman who's scattering seed is he's doing it indiscriminately. Have you noticed? I don't know. I mean, obviously, there's farmers here. You're not going to be sowing your seed in a ditch full of water or on pavement, will you? You're not going to go right across the dirt road. Why? Because it would waste what? Seed. Your yield wouldn't be as great, right? Again, I'm speaking of things that are way beyond my understanding because I'm not a farmer. I'm just using big words and throwing them in there, hoping they stick, okay? But the reality is that you're not going to be wasting it. But here, this sower seemingly is wasting it. Just going across, throwing it however he chooses. You don't think he can't see the rocks, the rocky soil? You think he can't see where the weeds have grown in past seasons? And yet he's still throwing it out there. What does it say that the seed is supposed to be? The sower is sowing the word. So the seed is actually the word, or any form of message, any form of telling of that of the kingdom is being sown, or it's being tossed out towards different people and places. But the reality of all of this is that this reflects upon one's heart. See, the soil that's being represented here is actually our hearts. Do our hearts get clouded by things? Are our hearts rocky? There are some here actually who may come, and before they even walk in the door, they are the ones where things will be sown and the enemy will just take it away immediately. I know that. It's a reality. I've been there. I am there sometimes. The reality is that we all need to check our hearts. And this whole parable is relating to our willingness, our initiative to seek God, to seek him, to truly seek him. Not to seek him in the same way that we have for the last 20 to 30 years, as though that's always ever we've ever known. There's always more in the kingdom, so there should always be an increase. You should always be able to look back on yourself and say, I was there, I am now here, glory to God. Thank you so much, Father. Encourage my heart to continue to seek your face. Seeking God is the big word here, 25 cents, impetus of this entire thing. It's the whole reason for this entire parable is the idea of seeking God and seeking him, coming to him. That's why it's the key. The key is the seeking. The key is the asking. The key is the not giving up. The key is not getting distracted. It's the good soil. But it's there for a purpose. Seed is there for a purpose in order to what? To grow, for something, to produce something. And so that's the same thing. Every morning that you wake up is an opportunity for you to receive. Take well and concern yourself with what you have heard over the last 5, 10, 15 years of Sundays. Do you want to know why? Because to the measure that you have received, the measure it will be judged to you. It's not just a willy-nilly thing. We can't cheapen grace and get in by our bootstraps, just kind of get in, squeaking in. This is a sincere thing. A sincere thing, but I guess the question would be, should we not want to? Or have we devalued that which God did through his son? Maybe we're just so far removed. Maybe the gap is just so great that we don't fully grasp the depth of all that took place for us. Because if we were to have seen it, if we were to have witnessed it, I can guarantee you, sometimes our hearts would probably be shifted. This is the key. But one really interesting thing here is it's for perceiving hearts. So Jesus is actually talking as he's gathered all these disciples and followers around him, probably a few more than are actually just here this morning, just a hair more. And he starts telling them, this is what this means, this parable, because this is the key. You need to understand this in order for you to understand all the rest which I'm going to teach you. And so he begins to say things like in verse 15, he says, these are the ones who are beside the road. And it says here in verse 16, in a similar way, these are the ones on whom the seed is sown. And then verse 18, and others are the ones on whom the seed was sown. And then again, and verse 20, it says, and those are the ones on whom. Jesus is pointing at people. Can you imagine? Can you picture this? These are the ones who've sown it this way. These are the ones who have sown it that way. Others are the ones that this happens to. And those are the ones. Those are the ones. Right? This is how he's speaking. But he's speaking this to his followers. He's speaking this to those that are there with him. These, those, others. He's actually perceiving their hearts. Even in what he's just said to them. Do you think this is true? Do you think this is able to be accomplished? Turn with me in Mark chapter 2, verses 6 and 8. We have a very interesting story where there's a paralytic that's been lowered from the roof. They've actually destroyed the home to try and lower this paralytic down. And the first thing that Jesus says in front of all those rulers that are there was that your sins are forgiven, he says to the paralytic. He doesn't heal him. He says, your sins are forgiven. And then in verse 6 it says, but some of the scribes were sitting there, and it says, reasoning in their hearts. They didn't say anything. They were reasoning in their hearts. Why does this man speak this way? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Now, at that point in time in the Jewish culture, that was worthy of stoning already. So you can imagine how angry they're getting. And then verse 8, it says, immediately Jesus, aware in his spirit that they were reasoning that way within themselves, see how nothing was said, yet he discerned their hearts, said to them, why are you reasoning about these things in your hearts? You don't think that he can discern what's going on with those who are following him just as much as he could discern those that are against him? Absolutely. He is knowing every single intention of one's heart as they are seeking him. He knows who in that group is honorable and those that are true. He knows those that are prone to wander. And he knows the faithful few. He knows those that are seeking him truly and genuinely. It speaks to the sincerity of our hearts, even if not initially understood. And that is a key factor here. None of them understood it initially. None of them did. It took probably a few of them saying, hey, what is going on here? What does this parable mean? For them to actually get an explanation. But the question is key, that we actually have this heart to seek after the answer, the revelation to the mystery of the kingdom which is before us. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, it's up on the screen here, says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. It is for us to see. He delights in our seeking. I know that might seem like it takes a bit of time, but is God not worthy of our seeking? God is worthy of so much more. And he will give to us as we sincerely seek him. Revelation will come. In verses 21 to 25, he then goes on to tell a slightly different side or a different angle to get across the same objective, that there's this lamp, the parable, the mystery, given in order to bring light. It says here that a lamp is not brought to be put under a basket, is it? Under a bed? Is it not brought to be put on the lampstand? What's the lamp that he's referring to? It's the parables. It is all the stories that he's trying to convey to them. It's not meant to, if we come here on a Sunday morning, or any time in which we have an encounter with the Lord, or we're wanting to spend time in seeking him, and we get an insight from his word, or we get kind of a something that just growls at us, so to speak, we have the options. One option is we take it as though it's a lamp, and we put it under the bed. I'm not sure I want to deal with that right now. It might take a little bit of time for me to flesh out. But it's not there for that. That thing that is uncting you, so to speak, is meant to bring light, not just to your life, but to those lives that are in connection with yours. That is what he's talking about here. The lamp is intended for a purpose. the parables, everything that he's trying to reveal to you, the mysteries of the kingdom are there for you and for others to reveal and to show and express God's light. It's not meant to just be pushed aside. Because it says in verse 22, nothing that is hidden is to be revealed, for nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor has anything been in secret but that it would come to light. In other words, everything that God is desiring to teach us, even though we don't initially understand it, is meant to be sought out. It's meant to be sought out so that there is revelation that comes. And that is the mystery of the kingdom that then we have access to in Jesus Christ. We have access to that now. It shines revelations, not a single situation of sowing. This is applying to everything that we hear and see, by the way. This isn't just the initial reception of Jesus as your Lord and Savior. This is everything that we hear, see, and attempt to learn. This is how it is going to be measured. We need to have open hearts. We need to foster good soil so that whatever we are taking in stays, that the enemy doesn't come and pluck it away. All those good insights, all those good, amazing light-type things that we could be bringing to dark circumstances can easily be just plucked away. Opportunity lost. All that is concealed by God is meant to be revealed. In Proverbs chapter 25, again, it should be up on your screen, Proverbs chapter 25, it says, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter. But is the glory or it is the honor of kings to search out a matter. It's like, I think I used this example at one point in time with others, Easter eggs, like Easter egg hunts. Who likes Easter egg hunts just as much as the kids looking for the gifts? The parents do, right? Don't they enjoy seeing them run around? And you know what happens? It's, you know, we do it at our house sometimes just for fun. It is if our little guy can't quite find it, but he's just searching and searching and searching, what ends up happening? Come over here. We got to look in that area. Has anyone ever done that? A little bit of assistance, right? This is exactly what God is doing. It's the desire to see just this sincere heart to seek after something. And then he shows you and he reveals it to you. And you get this tremendous gift and this joy of being shown, of being encountering the Father's love in that way. It's the glory of God to conceal it. It is the honor of kings. Which we all are now. We are sons and daughters of the Most High. It is our honor to seek it out. We need to place ourselves in a position to receive the seed. And as we receive it, we actually then become responsible for it. In verses 24 and 25, it says that, and he was saying to them, take care that you listen to what you listen to. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you, and more will be given you besides. For whoever has, to him more shall be given. Whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. And actually, in Luke chapter 8, verse 18, I think I like this better. It's going to be up on your screen here. Luke chapter 8, verse 18. It says here, so take care how you listen. Take care how you listen. For whoever has, to him shall be given. And whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him. Be careful how you listen. Be careful how you listen. Or rather, maybe the basis should just be listen. He who has ears, listen. Be careful how you listen. Everything this morning, if you've gained even a little bit, is going to be measured. There's going to be a standard of measure by how much you've received. In the same manner as even my preparation of this, I then am responsible for this. And how then I receive this, how I perceive this, how I live this out, this is all a part of kingdom right now. One could think, I think, that there's maybe a burden or a weight to this, that maybe is hindering some from sincerely seeking. But I think if we place ourselves in that position to sincerely seek, then what is received will far outweigh any initial burden in the seeking, if that makes sense. It will far outweigh it. So I guess maybe the question is, what ground does our hearts initially resemble day to day? Are they harder hearts? Are they hearts that maybe have been sown with other things that are competing for the outflow or the produce from the seed? Are they hearts that potentially will get choked out at some point? Or are they hearts that are soft? Are they hearts that are receptive to that which is being sown? Because there are some messages within the kingdom that need to actually be cultivated. They need to be sought. We need to actually see to it that they produce something. I don't know if any of you here are in the habit of actually making notes as you're spending time with the Lord, or if, even if there's a thought or a sense that you have throughout your day or your week where you can actually make a note of it and come back and say, Lord, like, what are you trying to show me in this area? What are you desiring to know in your lives? Is there anything, if you were to ask yourselves right now, if you were to ask God one thing, what would it be right now? Some of you might say, when is he done? Right? But is there anything sincerely that you would like to know? Do you think God could reveal that to us? In verses 34, 33 and 34 of the same chapter, it says here, and with many such parables, he was speaking the word to them, so far as they were able to hear it, he says. So far as they were able to hear it. So there's a point, I think, where Jesus, do you think he gave up? Do you think he just said enough is enough? Do you think he could discern their hearts enough that he thought, okay, it's good now, we're done. I don't think we can go much further with this crew, right? As far as they were able to hear it, and he did not speak to them without a parable, but was explaining everything privately to his own disciples, to his own followers. So there's points when he actually stops, like it's almost been too much for them. So that's good, because we're going to draw to a close here now, so we're just going to start to stop soon, okay? But I just want to encourage you with one thing, that as Jesus was here in person, getting the understanding of everything that was being said as they were coming to him, we have access now by the Holy Spirit to that same seeking, asking, and then receiving. The Holy Spirit offers that to us. In two small verses in John, it says, chapter 14, which will be up here again for you as well, 15 to 17, says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. And then again, there's a few other verses that follow that about the Holy Spirit. In verses 25 and 26, it says here that these things I've spoken to you while abiding with you, as he was here, teaching the parables. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. So the Holy Spirit is the one that actually helps, that assists. Inasmuch as Jesus was there in person, the Holy Spirit now is within us. The Spirit of Jesus, the same one that has the answers for all the questions, that also drives us to seek the answers, and that if we have him, then we begin to see and perceive, as it said in those verses. The Holy Spirit is what draws us, that we might return and be forgiven. So, last thing, we may be asking ourselves, what then, how then can I know, can I determine what heart I have? If it is something that is actually serious, something that I need to take seriously, to pay attention, to actually understand, to weigh and measure that which I am receiving, everything that I'm hearing. You know what? If you're not willing to measure that which you're hearing, don't put yourself in a position to listen to anything. Does that make sense? Especially as it's resulting in the kingdom, and if you're a believer in Jesus, don't even bother. Don't avoid it, because to you it'll be measured much more greatly than anyone else. It's not a flippant situation. This is a very sincere thing, and it's a key to everything else. Many people wander around as believers, and they wonder, well, why isn't God speaking to me? Are you seeking him? The answer is no. Oh, but wouldn't he just tell me something? Well, then seek him. That takes up too much time. Then don't complain. Then don't complain. You have no right to complain. We have to understand that there is a sincerity in seeking. And I have to be brutally honest, and whomever's watching, even if it's still working, I don't know. We have to be almost militant at this point. I'm not saying that we need to go stockpile weapons. That's not what I'm saying. In fact, don't. But what I am trying to say is, if all the circumstances surrounding you right now are not cluing us in to something that is greater taking place, that is being ushered in, and if even seeing all that, we're not willing to get serious, then there's nothing more that I can do. Do we not understand the gravity of the situation? Jesus could return tomorrow. Oh, but you know what? This part in Revelation hasn't come to pass. This hasn't come to pass. Wrong. We were talking about this last evening. All prophecy is spoken of from above. Where do you think God reigns and rules? He doesn't see things linearly all the time. Like, oh, well, I haven't done my checklist yet in order to return. Do you think that's how he thinks? No. Do you think it needs to take a year or 2 days? How about every second? What if everything came to pass at the exact moment and then he returns? There is a lack of sincerity amongst faith within believers right now that is shocking. And you know what? Everything that is happening is bringing that to light. Every circumstance is bringing that to light today. We are seeing irrationality reign supreme. Do you know that fear is a spirit? It says so in God's word. It says that there is a spirit of fear. And so it infects you. It infects you like COVID infects you. And then it moves on to another, and then moves on to another, and then moves on to another, because our natural human tendency is to fear. So it doesn't need to stick around. It infects you with fear, it goes on to another. It infects you with fear, it goes on another. So we can understand what's going on right now. It's having a heyday. As I said before, I can't help but think that while we denied our Lord and God praise, many churches did for a number of months, that just didn't prevent the pushing back of darkness to allow it to flood in with all the riots and chaos that proceeded after that. Have you ever thought of that? There's a sincerity here that we need to really engage with. We need to understand. I don't know, 5 years, 10 years, 50 years, tomorrow, doesn't matter. We are in the end of the end right now, and we need to understand that. We need to partner with God. We need to partner with his grace and his love to extend that into every single life. If not now, I don't think it's going to ever happen. If not now, we need to get serious. We need to get on our knees. We need to pray before God. I would delight me no more than to see just a resounding chorus of prayer on Wednesday evenings. There's been some amazing answers to prayer that would affirm and attest to God being with us and for us in what we are requesting. And as we are bringing that to him before his throne, things are being answered, both physically there as well as remotely. We need to partner with him. The best approach for this is in the Psalms, if we'll just go back there really quickly, Psalms 24, verse 4 and 6. Psalm 24, verse 4 through 6. he who has a clean hands and a pure heart, who's not lifted up his soul to falsehood or lies, and has not sworn deceitfully, he shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, even Jacob. This is the position of our hearts, to be receptive to the word that is sown. Clean hands, pure heart, lifting up our soul sincerely, but not in vain. We haven't made a false commitment. We have to be very careful with what our walks are suggesting, our commitments, or how they were made. They can't be false. And in that way, it says here that we shall receive a blessing from the Lord, the righteousness from God, which is our salvation. And this is evidence of those who seek him. Soft heart is evidence of seeking after him. So if one isn't seeking, how do we infer that you have a soft heart? Anyways, I want to encourage you today to seek after God. He desires to reveal good things to you. And he has much more for you than you were ever told and have ever even realized just yet. Seek after him, seek after him, seek after him. Be sincere. Be sincere. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord God, how it shines light in the midst of darkness. And I pray, Lord God, that you would challenge each of us here this morning, that Holy Spirit, that you would fill our hearts afresh, that you would rekindle that gracious gift that you have placed within us by your presence. Lord, rekindle it, set it alight, set it on fire, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, help us to understand, help us to gain insight and revelation as we seek into the mysteries of your kingdom, Lord God, and that those mysteries then shine light into all of the walks that we have, Lord God, all of our friends, all of our families, and everything that we are doing and all that we are saying, Lord God, that you are shining your light through us. And I pray, Lord God, that you would help us to be intentional, that you would motivate us into purpose, Lord God, knowing that it is far beyond anything we can think of, manufacture, or imagine. Help us to hit our knees, Lord God. Help us to realize that you are on your way, that you are on your way. Every day is just one more day that you just tarry, and that you are on your way. And so help us, Lord God. Help us to see, help us to seek, help us to perceive. Enlighten our hearts and encourage us, embolden us in our steps. We trust you. We love you. We thank you. Glorify your name through us. In your mighty name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.